Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, welcome to On the Bench. This is a recruiting-centric episode. I think I'm going to title it, Zach, So Many Stars. What are your thoughts?
I kind of like it, but it's a little weird.
Okay, do you have any working titles or suggestions? Or just going to say it's kind of weird, but you also kind of like it?
We'll roll with that.
Okay. So FSU is taking on rival Miami on Saturday at 3:30 p.m. in Doak Campbell Stadium. Zach, we're talking about this in the context of it being perhaps the biggest recruiting weekend in the history of the Mike Norvell era. Is that fair?
I think that's fair. Based on some conversations I've had this week with people inside the building, I think that's the general consensus right now. And, you know, we don't even have to limit it to Florida State, right? Like Mike's not been at a school like FSU. In his prior stops, obviously, was at Arizona State and Memphis. This just, I mean, from a pure talent standpoint, it's honestly ridiculous. I mean, we'll run down kind of all the names in a bit, but or most of the names, and it's unlike anything I've ever seen. I think it's the most talented weekend I've ever covered at FSU. Obviously, with the caveat that I haven't been here that long. But you know, I covered some.
You
didn't
cover the golden age of the golden part of the Jimbo era, but yeah.
Yeah, true. But I did, you know, I did cover that first Virginia Tech game of Willie Taggart's era, and looking back, I don't think it was as top to bottom star studded as this one. There were some supremely talented players at that game, but obviously. We know how that ended.
It didn't end well. Yeah, this is supposed to be a good vibes type of podcast. We're not going to talk about like, what happens.
I'm trying to bring back history and preparing or like comparing some of the past visit weekends. Mike's had some big weekends himself at FSU and in the kind of their climb back up to national prominence. Nice. Notre Dame a few years ago was a big one. Miami 2 years ago was a big one. I think the Clemson weekend was one of their bigger ones last year, but I think someone posted that list on Twitter the other day, and looking back, it's like, man, that was kind of depressing for that to be, you know, the top, one of the top weekends for Florida State last year. Like, I mean, they might have outdone that weekend with like a, you know, versus Duke earlier in the season, just because of how much recruiting momentum they have in multiple classes this season.
And so much of what's gone into what is going into Saturday has been months long, if not years long, in terms of building relationships. But then just even like Zach, like strategically setting up, knowing this would be a big game, knowing it was going to be against Miami, knowing it was falling in November, about a month out from the early signing period. Like this was all done with a lot of foresight to kind of manifest and lead to this moment, right?
Yeah, no, most definitely. And I think Chris brought it up on the last podcast we did, but, you know, talking to some people around the program at the end of the summer, their focus was getting kids on campus for the Miami game, like from that point. So that kind of shows you how long FSU staff has been working at trying to make this visit weekend elite. And honestly, like for the past couple of weeks, like we've been confirming some names, but a lot of times, like, you know, you're not going to know full travel plans and, you know, kids aren't going to fully confirm their intentions of making it to a visit weekend until closer to the game. So over the past 2 weeks, it's been a ton of confirming on our end. And it's, you know, it's been ridiculous the amount of talent that we've gotten to confirm that's expected to be in the stands on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, we're recording this on a Wednesday afternoon. Probably will be listening to it Wednesday evening or maybe Thursday morning by the time I get it edited and posted. And so the names keep getting confirmed and added to. Like, this is a living, breathing. We always talk about that with recruiting. Like, it's always evolving, like, on the list of what you expect. But, like, the amount of work Zach's been doing to – and everyone at Knowles 24/7 to get names confirmed and whatnot. Like, it's really cool to see what's coming together because it's a reminder of, like, how far this program has come. Before we go any further and start going into some of the names specifically – let's give a shout out to the sponsor of our podcast. It is Chattanooga Whiskey. What bottle should I talk about today? I'm just grabbing one.
Rye.
Oh, I don't have the rye. Was too far away. I think I may have killed the rye, honestly. No, there's a little bit left. Founders. This is their annual release. It's their Founders blend. They basically blend a couple of different type of bourbons together, including one that's like a Solera, which basically means like there's at least a percent of the same juice that they've had every single year. Just kind of keeps getting blended and added with other stuff. So like over a period of time, there'll be like a little speckle of like a 20-year-old bourbon in there, which is kind of cool. It's like a hat tip to Chattanooga Whiskey's meteoric rise, if you will, for an episode about stars, for them to become such a fast growing bourbon and distillery brand in general. This is their 10-year one. Their 11-year one came out about 6 months ago. Just as good, if not better. Like, they do a great job with that. And you can find Chattanooga Whiskey pretty much anywhere in the Southeast these days. Like, it's all over the place. Pretty easy to find in the state of Florida. This specific bottle, you might have to look for a little bit. But I think they had it at their distillery when I went in the spring, Zach. And I got this one here in Tallahassee. So, I mean, you can find it. It's findable if you're interested in tasting something that's got a little uniqueness to it beyond just their entry-level bourbon or their cask-strength bourbon or rye, which you can find everywhere. Let's get into this weekend. I want to start with, I think before we talk about some of the 2024 prospects, Zach, I think it'd be kind of interesting to like discuss what you do on a day like this, like what your game plan is like, who you're working with closely, how you're kind of like handling business on just Saturday itself. And obviously, you've been calling people and texting and DMing and stuff for weeks now. You'll be working on Sunday as well, but like, what does Saturday look like for you?
Yeah, I mean, Saturday, honestly, from a pure work standpoint, not too crazy. Usually I'll head over and, you know, be outside of Florida State's facility before the game to kind of confirm guys that arrive. Obviously want to make sure that, you know, the guys that I've reported are going to be there or that we're on, you know, Florida State's expected list do end up making it in, just so that we, you know, have an accurate head count of the prospects in the building. And then, you know, I kind of work hand in hand with Dane usually when doing that. We'll chill out there, confirm all the visitors. And then our great photographers, Travis Register and Greg Oyster, both help a ton in confirming because they're able to take photos of the recruits on the field. And that helps us, you know, as they're able to see those name tags. Cause when we're seeing them, it's just, we're trying to confirm who they are just based on, you know, face to face. And, you know, sometimes I haven't seen these recruits in person before, so it's a little difficult. So shout out to our photogs for helping a ton with that. But yeah, for Saturdays for me, I mean, it's not nothing too crazy. Obviously, I'm sure FSU fans, if you're on Knowles247.com, you'll know oftentimes we're dropping some late additions to the list.
Dane's on Saturdays. Dropping.
Yeah. And you know, that's become a tradition. So that's probably the most fun part of my Saturdays, is kind of dropping those late additions to those visitor lists.
You just brush off my Dane's Droppings reference.
Nothing more to be said.
Remember, we woke up one time and he wrote a story called Dane's Droppings. And
yes.
It was
titled worse before I was able to be.
Can you say? Dane. I really forget what it is. So if you can't say. I don't want to.
Know, it was Dane's Dome. Actually, wait. No, I think it was Dane's Droppings, and then he changed it to Dane's Dome. And he's continued to use Dane's Dome for his scouting pieces. I like it.
Good. I'm glad you like it. Okay, let's start off with the 2024 prospects here. It's cool because a lot of the heavy lifting is done. We've talked about this for a little bit, right, man? Like, this is a big game hunting kind of mindset in the final stretch of the last month and a couple weeks here. But like, there's going to be some big time prospects still from this current cycle on campus. Starting off, all commitments going to be here. Any commitments that we haven't been able to confirm yet? FSU commitments, that is, Tribe 24 members.
Luke Krummenhawk is the main one that won't be there. Not any reason for concern.
We should panic.
He has a playoff game on Saturday. And he told me he was here for the Duke game. And he told me that he like went to the AD and like gave him the business about like them scheduling a playoff game on a Saturday. I guess someone on our message board said that Georgia is short on referees, like the state of Georgia is. And that's where Luke plays his high school football. So I guess they've had to, you know, put the games on Saturdays to apparently make that an easier process.
Oh.
Luke was not happy about it because he wants to be at this game. But everything's great there. I'll have a more in-depth feature with Luke this week.
Okay. All right. So that would be great to have Luke because he's such a good ambassador for this recruiting class. But yeah. You'll have so many commits and so much energy. Like, I think you can withstand that. But is what it is. State of officiating is kind of like bordering on like being an emergency, I think. But we don't have to get into that now. Shocking that a lot of adults don't like getting paid minimally to get yelled at by other adults. Let's move on to some of the players who were committed elsewhere. I think that'll be a fun talking point here. Starting off, 5-star Jeremiah Smith. Maybe we've talked about him before on the podcast. Maybe the recruit Knicks listening, the avid followers, people who just aren't checking in, have heard about him a few times before. Number one player in the country down in South Florida, wide receiver. He is legit, like prodigious, elite. Julio Jones, like that's kind of like when you're talking about his comp, you start bringing up some pretty elite players. So this is a guy, Zach, that's committed to Ohio State. FSU continues to recruit him, keeps getting to show up. This has been a big one in the works for a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, this has been on the agenda for a long time. Jeremiah made it clear from, you know, a couple months ago that he wanted to be at this game, and here we go. It's this week, and this will be his second opportunity to watch FSU in action this season. His first at an FSU home game, because he was at the LSU game to open the season in Orlando. Now he'll watch the Noles take on their rival Miami inside Doak Campbell Stadium. Just a massive opportunity for Florida State as they look to chip away at his Ohio State commitment. He's been a commit to the Buckeyes since last December, and he's saying all the right things, but you know, behind the scenes, we still feel pretty good about FSU's chances of being in this one until the end. Florida and Miami are the other two schools. They both hosted him on campus, I think at least one time or several times this season as well. UF had him on campus, I think we spoke about last weekend, mm-hmm. for their game or their loss against Arkansas. They're continuing to stay in it. Miami will obviously try to have a good performance this weekend to maybe sway things their favor. I think we both agree that Florida State probably stands the best shot of flipping Smith from Ohio State at this point in time.
Yeah. Right now, the way it's all kind of, it's all materialized to this point. Yeah, it's Florida State, but we've also kind of felt that way for months now. Yeah. It seems like it's like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory and the Charlie Factory, or Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Why is my Do Not Disturb on?
It's not on.
Amateur hour. It feels like there's just like different schools are dropping one along the way, kind of little Oompa Loompas are like taking them, escorting them out. Apparently the kids in the book died. Not quite as morbid in the movies, but.
But I feel like they did die in the movies, no?
We just don't, but like, I think it was more like, that was open to interpretation. Yes. Yeah. Anywho, FSU kind of keeps on chipping along. They drank the bubbly. They floated up the top of the room, and them and Grandpa, who just faked that he couldn't walk, by the way, was just bedridden, and then he was fine. All of a sudden, like, they're still in it here. They're hanging on. So hopefully that was a reference that people understood. Probably not. And that's 100% on me. Let's talk about Cam Coleman will show up. He's a five-star wide receiver commit to Texas A&M. We talked about him a little bit last week. I don't think there's a whole lot to keep going on, Zags. It's just you probably need to get him to show up for an OV still for this to become a real thing. We'll see. A few defensive backs who are committed elsewhere. Let's talk about all three in context here. We got Wardell Mack, top 150 cornerback from Louisiana. He's committed to UF. Xavier Lucas, a three-star, but someone who has really fun senior tape, committed to Wisconsin. I think Miami's chipping away there. He's from South Florida. And then Kai Bates, an Orlando area cornerback, top 100 prospect. He is committed to LSU. And there's intel on all three. I think all are kind of linked together in some capacity or another with FSU probably getting Jamar Howard this week before the game. That seems like that's where all the crystal balls are at. Space limited for DBs. But let's talk about, I guess, what's kind of happening with the DB board and the prospects with those three.
Yeah. So if you count Jamari Howard in the class, that would make FSU's DB counter at five commitments in the 2024 cycle. They signed six last year. So I think they would really only want to add one more. And if we're just talking between Kai Bates, Wardell Mack, and Xavier Lucas, the three flip targets, those are probably the guys that you want to look at immediately as possible candidates to be that last spot. In my opinion, I think the most likely candidate is Xavier Lucas, the Wisconsin commit. He's a guy that has deep connections to Florida State staff. FSU was really, you know, Miami has gotten a lot more involved with him as of late, but FSU has been a school involved with him a ton throughout his recruiting process. They were really high on him in the spring. They obviously kind of their DB recruiting skyrocketed it over the summer with, you know, KJ Bolden and Charles Lester joining the boat. And they kind of cooled on Xavier Lucas for his, you know, before his summer commitment to Wisconsin. They've watched some senior tape of Xavier. They like his body type. And I think they're going to be pushing, you know, or they have been pushing much harder in his recruitment. And, you know, another tie, I think we spoke about this, like Pat Surtain used to be the American Heritage head coach. Xavier Lucas goes to American Heritage. Those two are close. So that's helping FSU out here. Miami is a legit contender there, and they apparently feel pretty good about their chances with him right now. So I think this visit weekend is going to be big when it comes to Xavier Lucas's recruitment, because his two other, you know, schools that he's considering are going to be playing each other. So the result, I'm sure, is going to matter. To what degree, you know, we'll see. But I feel like, you know, if, out of those three guys, I think FSU is the best shot with Xavier Lucas. But Wardell Mack is an interesting one too, the Florida commit. He's a guy that FSU hosted for an OV or his first official visit in his recruitment on that first weekend of June. Did not land him in his early commit or his early decision, obviously, with UF taking that win. But he seems to be pretty open with things. He hasn't been to UF in a while, and he'll be back at FSU this weekend. So we'll see if anything shifts in that recruitment. And then Kai Bates, I mean, he's a top 100 prospect. I know we're really high on him, like as a company. Dane is a huge fan, And when you got that Dane stamp of approval, you must be a dog. So
Dane's droppings.
Yeah. He's out of Orlando Edgewater, 6'1" and a half, 180 pounds. Like, he's an ideal candidate to be that last corner in the class. And I think FSU really likes him. I think we'll kind of see how his recruitment trends. I would probably put Tennessee as the school most likely to flip him over FSU. He's an LSU commit right now, but we'll see if this weekend changes anything with Kai Bates and Florida State.
Yeah, our LSU site, correct me if I'm wrong, but with Kai Bates, they're kind of expressing some pessimism in keeping him. Is that fair? Yeah,
expressing that you know, maybe they don't expect him to end up in their class. I don't know, you know, too much on that right now. Like, I know for a fact, so just digging a little bit back into this recruitment, after FSU beat LSU, Kai Bates, like, Florida State started, like, hitting up Kai Bates a little bit more. You know, they're still in contact, but he got on a phone call with, like, the entire staff that next week, and they were kind of working on getting him on campus. Nothing ever really materialized. I think it was, like, might have been the Southern Miss game that they were trying to get him there, and he was like, I don't really want to go to the Southern Miss game because it's not like a big game. He's been to LSU multiple times this year. So to like,
and their secondary has been great.
Yeah. I mean, they're not great, but they need help.
There is a path to
he could probably play his freshman year at LSU unless they, you know, go add some studs out of the transfer portal. But yeah, I mean, with Kai, like, I thought that things were kind of over there. But maybe this visit weekend changes things. I guess we'll have to see afterwards.
Real quick on that, Zach, who different than who you think Florida State likes or who would be the best fit in the class with the collective, what you already have with your other DB commits? Like, who do you like in a vacuum? Like, who would you rank the highest from a skill set perspective, upside, all that stuff? If you had to put your own grade on it, who would you want of the three start your class?
I would go like, if there were no other factors as far as like, you know, ability to get them.
Or no DBs on the boards, clean slate.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say Kai Bates is, from a film standpoint, is my favorite. Huh. Then I would go Xavier Lucas and then Wardell Mack. You know, I'm always going to bank on a defensive back from American Heritage. I mean, their hit rate, especially at that position, has been like insanely high over the past, you know, recent history. I mean, Patrick Surtain, Tyson Campbell, like there's a ton of guys that have come out of that program and just been dudes. So that's why I like Xavier Lucas a lot. And he's had a really impressive senior season. Like, I know that's why FSU and Miami are turning up the heat for him.
Good size, good track time for him. And yeah, the senior film, like, if you guys, it's only like the midseason one's like a minute and a half long, but like there's fun film there. Like, you could see a big, big athlete kind of open up and be explosive. Like, that's, I think FSU is always going to try to bank on that. They love long, explosive athletes.
Yeah.
Let's talk about a recent name to the list. This one was kind of rumored for a little bit. Wasn't sure when it was going to materialize. Steve Wiltfong breaks news. I think it was on Tuesday. Maybe it was Monday. Miami week, everything blurs together for me. It's just a bowl of hatred kind of frothed together, and then you drink it down.
Get to the point.
Who's visiting, Zach? Sorry.
Jason Santamella is who I think you're talking about.
Yes. I'm sorry. I don't cover recruiting full time. So for me to like put in like just all of a sudden become talking about.
You do all these like weird like analogies.
Yeah,
like,
just my brain wanders because it's not just me talking about football and the team constantly. So it's kind of this meandering.
Gotcha.
It's Jason Santamella. Let's talk about
Santamella.
Santamella.
Jason Santamella at a Clearwater Academy International. If you recognize that school, that's where Florida State signed big-time offensive tackle Lucas Simmons last cycle. They won that recruiting battle over, you know, schools like USC and Tennessee and Florida. But this time around, you know, over the summer, you know, Jason Santamella committed to USC. Before that, FSU was kind of the perceived favorite, like heavy favorite for Jason Santamella. They had an OV scheduled for the end of June with him. And then he heads out to Los Angeles for a weekend and leaves LA committed to the Trojans and cancels that FSU OV. So ever since then, this recruitment's kind of been on the low. FSU's continued to work it. Like, he's definitely been their top guy, remaining guy along the offensive line in this class. There's been some rumors about, like, you know, other guys like Jordan Seaton or whatever. But Jason Santamella has been that dude for Alex Atkins in Florida State. And it seems like this weekend they'll finally have another opportunity to host him on campus. I think the goal for FSU has to be to lock down an OB with Jason Zandavella. Like, if everything goes right this weekend, get him in Al Backen's office, Mike Norvell's office, convince him, like, hey, you know, you're not ready to flip. Like, just give us another shot to host you for a more extended stay. Because obviously they didn't get to do that over the summer, and I think that's an important step here. So, you know, we'll kind of see what materializes following this visit weekend, but I think it's absolutely massive news if he does end up stepping foot in Tallahassee on Saturday.
Yeah, that's an open for business type of trend, right? Like, so much for recruiting is following trends. And
yeah,
as Berg used to say, you follow the visits. And like November with USC coming off of, is it three straight losses? They're struggling.
Yeah, I know they're unranked now.
Like, yeah, so there is, or they have three losses. I don't know if it's three straight, but like it hasn't been a great last month or so for them. It's telling. Like, this is on the table. Real quick, we're going to take a commercial break. We'll be right back in a minute.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, I want to go to 2025, Zach, but before we do, is there anyone else with 2024 that you want to discuss or you think is noteworthy at this time?
I think Armando Blunt is a noteworthy one because of the two teams that will be playing football in Tallahassee this weekend, right? Like, these are the two teams that he's kind of flip-flopped between. Florida State was the perceived leader. He commits to Miami in September. A month later, flips to FSU after visiting for the Duke game. And there's already been some kind of rumor about, you know, Miami trying to make another play at him. So I think it's important for Florida State to win this game and look good doing it as they try to kind of secure this commitment.
That wasn't a rumor, to be fair.
Yeah. Rumor as far as like, I don't know if anything actually happened, but.
Oh no, but the Miami's Miami, which seemed to be conceding him at one point, immediately after the flip, is seemingly trying to get back in it.
Yeah. Which they should. I mean, he's a local kid. So.
Yeah.
I mean, it's important for Florida State to win this game with Armando Blunt in attendance as they try to, you know, kind of lock things down. He'll be enrolling at FSU in, you know, just a few months. That's the plan with him reclassifying and then also early enrolling.
Mm-hmm.
So only got a little bit more to fight to try and keep him in the class, but this visit weekend will be an important step towards doing that.
Okay. 2025 and then beyond, but let's talk about some of the 2025 prospects. I think first and foremost, like table set here, Zach, is like FSU is ahead of schedule in terms of recruiting. And
finally,
this was something that was like so irksome during the Willie Taggart era. It's like they were never able to catch up. They didn't have a lot of time, but like that was a talking point constantly. Felt like FSU was starting to get there in the last year or so, but like we're here now, right? Like, yeah. This is where FSU is living. ahead for sure. of the schedule.
Yeah. And like, I mean, FSU, I think early on in Mike's tenure, they kind of had to bank on early evaluations and just landing commitments from some of those guys. Like, I mean, if you look at the 24 class, a lot of those guys were guys that they recruited in their freshman or sophomore years, like Cam Davis, Luke Kromenhawk, Landon Thomas. Obviously, there was some flip-flopping there, but he's back in the class. Camden Fryer. Like, there's a number of guys that Florida State evaluated super early on and, you know, kind of took early on before they were even, like, really ranked. And they just – that's kind of how they were doing business. Now they're operating in a position of power to where they can, you know, kind of not slow play 2025 prospects, but just put themselves in great positions for them, not rush them into, you know, trying to get them to commit. Not like FSU is doing that, but for guys that are more of higher status in the 25 class. I mean, if you look at this visit weekend, it's like absolutely absurd. Like, they have the we'll get into it, but like, they have the number one prospect in the entire country for 25 and 24 on campus with Jeremiah Smith. And then David Sanders, the offensive tackle, the five-star out of North Carolina. Like, it's an absurd visit list when it comes to 25. Obviously, with 24, there's only a few options left. But with the class of 2025, Florida State really only has, I think, two commitments right now with Tremell Jones and Ethan Pritchard. And, I mean, there are plenty of guys that are going to be on campus this weekend in the class of 25 that will end up in FSU's class next cycle.
You know, and often, like, in recruiting, it's not the class of where, like, winning starts to take hold. It's a year, maybe even sometimes 2 years. Like, we see it in the portal where it happens almost instantly. You win that year. FSU went 10-3 last year. We saw what they did in the portal, like, this past cycle and the options they had available to them, the schools they were beating out. You're seeing it, like, on the recruiting trail to a large extent this year as you gain, like, a top five class. But, like, just based on the sheer, like, players who are showing up in 2025, and we're about to get into it, like, you're talking about another, like, almost assurance of a top 10 class just based on, like, who's showing up. Like, that's the head start you're kind of setting yourself up with. If we're the belief that X amount of visits equals, you know, likelihood of commitment, you're kind of playing that formula in a really – like, to your favor really, really well. So noteworthy for the people who aren't, like, who are semi-casual recruiting people and more just FSU football based, like, this was what this segment's going to be for, trying to, like, inform you of, like, five names or so, I think is what we're going to do, of, like, who you should know in 2025 cycle. So starting off, Zach, who's your number one player that you want to talk about here in 2025?
Yeah, I kind of spoiled it. David Sanders, the number one player. He's the number one player in 2025, number one offensive tackle, 6'6", 270 pounds. Like, he's the most prototypical high school offensive tackle that you could ever find.
You know who he's comp to in on his profile? You have it there in front of you. FSU fans will be familiar with him.
Charles Cross.
We're talking about the Virginia Tech game and a bygone era.
Former FSU commit. Who's
and now a badass in the NFL. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Florida State has a shot with David Sanders. Not going to be easy. I mean, this is a guy that literally every school in the country wants, and every big time program, including Georgia, Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State, South Carolina, you know, a number of others that have hosted him on campus over the last year. FSU has had him on campus before. He was in Tallahassee for a multi-day visit surrounding a summer camp. I think it was in July. And, you know, that was kind of their first shot at getting him to tally. And they'll have their second shot this weekend for what's expected to be, you know, their most anticipated home game of the season. The environment should be crazy. And David Sanders will be in attendance, which is an awesome, awesome development for Florida State.
Yeah. Five-star offensive lineman showing up is always a good thing. All right, Zach, number two, who we got?
Yeah, I'll go with I'm trying to think of the best one here because there's just so many to choose from. I'll go with Usmani Kroma. He's a four-star running back out of South Georgia, Leesburg, Georgia, Lee County High School. He's a guy that has really emerged for Florida State as kind of their top dude at the running back position in next year's class. I mean, he's just – if you watch his tape, it's pretty – easy to see why Florida State Georgia and a ton of other schools want Usmani.
This is another Dane's Dome specialty, correct?
Yes. Well, I mean, Dane and I have seen this kid in person at a Lee County game this season, and he's just like, he's absurd. Like, he's the best running back prospect that I've seen in a long time in person. And I think Florida State might lead for him right now behind the scenes. Like, he hasn't publicly said that, and I don't think he's rushing into a decision. But if signing day were today, which obviously it's not, I think Usmani Chroma would pick FSU. There's going to be, you know, it's going to be a battle for him, especially because he, you know, resides in the state of Georgia. UGA likes him a lot. When Chris, Dane, and I went up to Lee County High School in the spring, when I was still in Tallahassee, we were doing a little road tripping. Georgia's Glenn Schumann, who's their, I think, their defensive coordinator now. I guess he has that area of Georgia for them on the recruiting trail. And he was there in person evaluating Usmani Chroma while he was lifting weights and doing a workout for Lee County. So that shows you just, you know, one of the schools that's highly interested in him, a guy that FSU badly wants in the 25 class.
Isn't it cool when like a Georgia coach shows up? Remember when we were at the spring game, St. Augustine, the Jacksonville Mandarin and versus St. Augustine, and Mike Bobo showed up, and you're like, oh, that's, they must have really good players. That's always kind of eye-opening.
Yeah.
Usmani Chroma is the number 44 prospect nationally in the 24/7 sports composite. That's pretty good. All right. Number three, Zachary.
Jamie French.
Oh, speaking of Jacksonville Mandarin, what a great transition.
Yeah. We saw him in that game. I think I said afterwards he was the best receiver prospect I had seen that spring. Obviously, you know, Jeremiah Smith is probably the best receiver that I've seen this cycle. But in 25, I don't think there's much better than Jamie French. I mean, he's so smooth, 6'1", 185 pounds, like you said, out of Jacksonville Mandarin, committed to the University of Alabama. But Florida State is still working hard to try and flip him. His high school quarterback, like I mentioned before, Tramell Jones, is committed to FSU. So, you know, obviously Tramell's always in his ear about the Seminoles, and Jamie will get back to Tallahassee for the first time this season, this weekend. And I think it'll be an important visit towards trying to flip him from the Crimson Tide.
Real quick, Zach, as we're talking about 2025, who's sponsoring this segment?
Oh, Football Coach College Dynasty, the number one college football management game on Steam for PC. It's my favorite game. Be a coach, create game plans, call plays, recruit players, develop your team, and compete for national championships. The features include college football, conference realignment, school boosters, official visits for recruits, the transfer portal, and even NIL. Football Coach College Dynasty is available on Steam now for $15.
All right, let's get to number four on your top five list that I did not ask you to come up with, and you're just doing it on the fly. But no,
yeah, it's really, really unfair.
Yeah, so difficult for you to have to talk about five great prospects. I'm sorry.
Elias Williams, he's the number one tight end in the country in 2025. He's a Georgia commit right now. It's honestly, the way like this recruitment has trended reminds me a lot of Landon Thomas. Besides the fact that Landon Thomas was a former FSU commit before flipping to Georgia, Elias Williams, back when FSU hosted him on campus in March, said Florida State was his leader. And then like a week after Landon Thomas flipped to FSU, Georgia landed Elias Williams. So I thought that was kind of funny, like the timing of it all. But FSU hasn't stopped recruiting Elias. They got him on campus over the summer. They had him on campus for the Duke game. I spoke to him exclusively after that game, and he had, you know, nothing but great things to say about Florida State and just, you know, what they're doing with tight ends. I know you posted a story this week, Brendan, about, you know, the tight end room and how they're, you know, one of the only programs in the country that has multiple tight ends with over 100 receiving yards. And yeah, they're doing a great job utilizing tight ends. And I think that game, especially for the Duke game, that they, you know, used them pretty very well. So yeah, he was, you know, saying great things. He basically said that FSU was the only, or the school with the best shot to flip him from UGA. He said that was really the only other school he was considering. So getting him back on campus for this weekend would be absolutely massive towards FSU's chances of pulling off another five-star flip from the two-time reigning national champions.
Kind of petered out there. All right, let's go to number five. Oh, that's also Elias Williams is a Christine favorite. All right, I'm going to have you go and talk about the fifth player on your list. No more after that. I'm not going to be like Chris where you're trying to get extras or whatever. This is it. So pick a good one. My dog's making weird noises in the other room. So while you talk about it, I'm going to make sure he doesn't have like a dead animal in the living room. All right?
Got it. All right. So number five is Zaden Walker. He's the number one linebacker in the country in 2025. He is out of Schley County in Ellaville, Georgia. He's another guy that Chris, Dane, and I went to go see during the spring, mostly, honestly, because of his older brother, Jalewis Solomon, who's now committed to South Carolina, former FSU DB target in the 24 class. FSU's not really active there anymore, but a prospect they definitely want to add out of that high school is Zaden Walker. He's a, you know, total freak at the linebacker position, 6'3", 220 pounds. Like I said, number one ranked linebacker in the country in next year's class, number 10 overall prospects in that cycle. I mean, Florida State, it's going to be an uphill battle. I'm not going to lie. Like that's a
battle's end potentially. That's a plug for if you want good recruits.
True.
Or just the roster.
Yeah. I think Georgia probably sits in the best spot for Zaden Walker. They've had him on campus multiple times this season. This will be his first trip to FSU, I think, since the summer when his older brother, Jalewis, took an OV to Tallahassee, and he kind of accompanied him on that visit. So it's good that they're getting him back on campus. I do think it'll be a tough recruitment to win, but who knows? You know, FSU's pulled off some stunners this cycle. Who says they can't land another high-caliber prospect from the state of Georgia in Zaden Walker?
All right, so those are your five. Obviously, many, many more. Where, if someone wanted to know about such things, where could they go to learn more about prospects who will be visiting this weekend? Another 2025, 26, 24 variety.
Knowles247.com. I got the full up-to-date visitor list up on the site. It's been there for 2 weeks. And
yeah, a lot of people have been reading that list, apparently.
Yeah, we're going to continue. We're going to continue updating it all the way up until game time. I'm sure that there will be more additions. I've already been adding a ton more today.
I'm staring into the soul of people. Do we want to play a game of Buy or Sonone before we get out of here, Zach?
Let's do it.
All right. Buy or Sonone is brought to you by
the Turner Group.
The Turner Group. Don't Sonone on getting into the housing market just because it is a stressful, anxiety-provoking process. Trust me, I know all about anxiety and stress. And if you're going to enter the housing market, and like we've dabbled in potentially doing it, talk to Colin Turner about it. And he's given us some good advice about what we can do, what we can't do, and we can do it. And just like in a simple minute, 10-minute like phone call, like felt pretty good about like what our outlook is. And you can have a similar level of experience if you're kind of contemplating entering the market. He can help you throughout the entire state of Florida. He specializes, like he's in Central Florida, Winter Park area, but under the Keller Williams umbrella can help you out like throughout the entire state. So Colin Turner, Amy Turner, Chris isn't here to yell Becky, but Becky, everyone at the Turner Group, they can help you out. So go ahead, Google the Turner Group, find the number, or if you like are contemplating getting in the market and you're not sure if you really want to reach out to Colin, if he can help you, message me and I will get you guys set up. Okay. All right, Zach, Buy or Sonone? Surprise visitor.
Buy.
Should we just end the podcast on that?
Sure. You all don't right. have anything else?
Surprise visitor. Zach is buying, but it wouldn't be a surprise if we all knew. So make sure to keep checking Knowles 24/7 throughout the weekend. See who shows up. Maybe see who doesn't, if there's any changes, things like that. Obviously, a huge game coming up this weekend as well. Like not just recruiting, but they're actually playing a game. Games get played. This is why Florida State's doing so well on the trail. FSU Miami coverage will be all over the place at Knowles 24/7. So for Zach Blaustein, I'm Brendan Sonone. This has been on. I actually hit my chest. This has been On the Bench. We'll talk to you guys later this week as we do a game preview, Know Thy Enemy, all that good stuff.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.